From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Coming up this week, Governor Cuomo delivers an election year State of the State address. Political observer Alan Shartok will share his thoughts on the speech, and we'll also take a look at the annual People's State of the State address. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo offered something for everyone in his State of the State message this week as he faces a re-election year. He outlined programs ranging from property tax cuts to an Education Bond Act to allowing medical marijuana. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt has more.
Governor Cuomo began his speech focusing on tax cuts and job creation. He highlighted a plan announced earlier in the week to cut the corporate tax rate and property taxes in a scheme that would hinge on local governments freezing spending and consolidating.
The highest property tax in the country is in Westchester County in absolute dollars. When you look at by percentage of home value, the highest costs are in upstate New York, literally in the country. So why are our property taxes so high? Because we have too many local governments, and we've had them for too long.
Cuomo is running for re-election this year, and he faces a possible challenge from Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino. The governor sounded more subdued than in 2013 when he outlined an ambitious progressive agenda. He reiterated some of those same ideas that failed to pass last year, including a Women's Equality Act, but he did not mention in his speech an abortion provision that the act contains. And he offered a plea to the legislature to approve an ethics reform package that died in last year's session, saying it's in everyone's interest to regain the public trust.
And I believe the more trust we have from the public, the more we can do. I believe it's like fuel for a rocket.
The governor only briefly referenced a proposal he championed last year to enact public campaign financing. Republicans who controlled the state Senate in a power-sharing agreement opposed those proposals last year, and Senate GOP leader Dean Skello sees the downplaying of them this year as a good sign.
He's a good moderate Republican, but we've worked very well together. I'm very proud that we've had three on-time budgets. We're going to do it again this year. There's a spirit of bipartisanship, and that's what folks are looking for.
Cuomo outlined his plan previously announced to permit access to medical marijuana in 20 hospitals across the state. He also advocates raising the age that juvenile offenders can be treated as adults in the state's prison system. And he proposed further crackdowns on drunk drivers and teenagers who text while driving. The governor also proposed a $2 billion Education Bond Act, and Cuomo says he shares the desire of the new mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, to provide universal pre-kindergarten.
It's time for New York State to have universal full-day pre-K statewide.
But Cuomo did not offer details of how to pay for it. Mayor de Blasio wants to raise taxes on the wealthy to fund pre-K. Cuomo has said he's not interested in hiking taxes on the rich at this time, and he suggested that perhaps it could be financed through the state's general fund. Mayor de Blasio, who attended the speech, says he does not see a conflict with Cuomo on the issue.
The state has a vision for the state, and I respect that vision. We have a vision for our own city, and we simply want an acknowledgement of that so we can move forward.
De Blasio is likely to seek what's known as a home rule message to allow him to raise New York City's income tax on the wealthy. Assembly Democrats are likely to support him on that. Senate Leader Skello says he hasn't ruled it out. Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver suggests that pre-kindergarten could in part be paid for with the bond act that the governor is proposing.
I assume some of that money would be used for facilities to house pre-K.
But the speaker says he looks forward to seeing the details in the governor's budget proposal due out on January 21st. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Alan, of course, this week, the State of the State address by Governor Andrew Cuomo seemed to be a pretty big election year agenda.
It was. I'd take some issue with the way he did it. It was an hour and a half, over an hour and a half, and it was just too long. But you can see how the governor, Cuomo, thinks about each of these things. So for the rich, you know, there's the mitigating of the estate taxes, and for the teachers, there's a premium. If you're a good teacher, you get some extra money, which, of course, will have its own problems. Believe me, there's some great teachers who will never see that money because they work with the most at-risk students. So he comes up with each of these ideas. So he answers Bill de Blasio, the new mayor of New York, who ran on a signature program of pre-K for everybody, a great idea. He says, I'll give you your pre-K. But de Blasio comes back and says, no, who is sitting in the audience. And by the way, when C-SPAN does it in Congress, if he mentions pre-K, I guarantee you they're going to show the new mayor's face, but not in the Cuomo thing because they're in charge of the cameras. And so you'll see yet another one of the slides that has been pre-prepared. And then there's a lot of yucking about the Adirondack races and whether the mayor comes. And there really is a lack of solid presentation, and more of it is sort of using the PR of our time, but way too long.
It seemed to push a lot in the area of business, and certainly upstate, as you already said. Startup New York was a part of his talk. He certainly put out the casinos and other areas, tax breaks for upstate.
David, you make a very good point. Cuomo is determined to start business upstate, which is a basket case, and he makes that point. And it's on his watch, and he knows it. So he's doing everything he can. And in order to attract business, he's making an offer you can't refuse. Because if you're going to come and bring your company, and not only are you going to be, you know, sort of tax-free in the area anywhere around a SUNY, for example, but if you come up to upstate New York and you take part in the SUNY program, your people don't even have to pay income taxes on their earnings. So the idea is we're going to rob from everybody else, and we're going to make this place, we're open for business, we're going to make it attractive. Now, if they're not paying taxes and the cost of government is there, somebody's going to have to pay taxes. And I guarantee you, we know this from our Vox Pop program where people call in, that people are suspicious that if businesses are coming up there and they're not paying any taxes, that in fact they're the ones who are going to have to make it up. So every one of these very attractive programs has another side to it.
He seemed to tread fairly lightly on the issue of political corruption.
Interesting. Yes, it was an issue. There's always been a debate in my mind, both spheres of my mind, as to whether or not, you know, he wants the issue or he really wants to get something done. So he talked about campaign financing a couple of times, and he talked about, you know, elections like in New York City where the people held to pay so that somebody can run for office without only the rich guys running. We didn't hear anything about that this time, or if we heard about it, it must have gone whizzing by very quickly. And we know that he's been speaking less about that. Why? Well, he's got $30 million of his own money in the bank that people have given him for campaign. People give you money for campaigns for a reason. They want something. And so if you're taking the money, it's very hard to say that you're not going to dance with the girl who brought you or the guy who brought you. In other words, under the old system, he's doing quite well. And so we're hearing less about revolutionary news systems.
Finally, Alan, the governor unveiled a plan to introduce medical marijuana in the state.
Yes, and you could see the gravitas in his discussion of the issue in the State of the State. You know, he certainly isn't leading the pack. On the other hand, he doesn't want to be left behind. So what he did was to simply say, there are going to be 20 hospitals, highly prestigious hospitals. If you want to go to the hospital, and if you have a certifiable life-ending or life-threatening disease, you can have this medical marijuana. Now, that to some degree helps him with his liberal constituency, which see it as one more step towards the legalization of marijuana, but it's also defensible. people because, after all, you know, you've got glaucoma, serious, serious glaucoma, or you have a life-threatening disease like cancer. Who in the world would tell you not to have something that is going to help you and alleviate the pain? So he's playing it very carefully. He does not want to be seen as Mayor Moonbeam Jerry Brown back in the day, who has learned his lesson, is now a much more somber fellow as governor in California. I have not seen anybody in the papers or other than that who has said, you know what, governor, you're a phony. You didn't go far enough. We really need all of this marijuana. And I tell you, I think he's smart for doing it this way. Because I guarantee you, this guy is always thinking in terms of Willie Horton. In other words, if I do this and something bad happens, will I get blamed for it? If somebody is under the influence of marijuana, is driving along the Taconic State Parkway and wipes out a family of five, and I've been the one who creates the marijuana scourge, will I get blamed for it? And he does not want that to happen, so he's doing this, but only under the most controlled of experiments.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. We head to New York's North Country now, where the Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley got reaction to the governor's State of the State address.
The governor showered praise on New York's North Country for its economic resurgence over the past few years.
The North Country was long ignored by Albany, but there is a new economic life. The Trudeau Institute is an emerging world-class biotech hub. There's going to be a new hotel in Saranac Lake. Bombardier's state-of-the-art rail car facility in Plattsburgh is going great guns. The North Country has a new future.
Village of Saranac Lake Mayor Democrat Clyde Rabideaux says the governor comes to his community often and is very engaged in what happens in the region. Rabideaux says three initiatives in his speech will aid not only the Adirondacks, but the entire state.
The first of which are the reductions of taxes for corporations. That's going to help all of upstate New York, and especially in Saranac Lake. Also helping out disabled vets. We have a few in our village that own their own businesses, and they could use that small advantage. And then the concentration on tourism throughout the state and in the Adirondacks is very exciting for us because much of our economy relies on tourism.
The governor's proposal to reduce corporate tax rates is praised by most officials.
Let's cut the corporate tax rate to zero all across upstate New York.
Plattsburgh Mayor Independent James Calnon found the tax incentives particularly important. Calnon feels if taxes can be held steady or reduced, it will boost competition.
I'm particularly interested in the business taxes. I mean, we have a very robust industrial sector here, from businesses that have been here for a number of years and some of the new ones that are experiencing great success like Bombardier did this week. The fact that we're going to really try to reduce the corporate tax to encourage more businesses to be here and to basically eliminate the tax on manufacturing really is a big leg up for us.
Mayor Calnon's enthusiasm is somewhat tempered because he feels the governor did not discuss a critical issue for local communities.
I think the biggest challenge is still that we haven't really meaningfully addressed the unfunded mandates and some of the things that really tie our hands in how we act. There's some big money things that I think we really need to take a look at.
The governor discussed several tourism initiatives, including the creation of a New York State adventure license, new signage along roads to aid travelers, and a follow-up to the Adirondack Challenge, this time a fishing event in western New York. Lake Placid-based Regional Office of Sustainable Tourism President Jim McKenna says a state's executive has never paid this much attention to tourism.
I think it's getting us up to a level that people and many others are recognizing that tourism can be a viable economic growth tool for the state. And when that's recognized, other opportunities open up for tourism.
Governor Cuomo also touched on an idea that has been lingering across the North Country since the 1950s.
In the North Country, the proposed Route 98 could reduce travel time and speed up commerce. We've been talking about it for years. Let's get DOT to undertake a study and see if we can make this project happen.
The so-called rooftop highway would connect Champlain in the east with Watertown. Mayor Calnon is glad that a feasibility study is finally in the works.
The more things that we can move east and west to go along with our north and south, I think will make a big difference in the economy of the entire North Country. So I'm glad that we're going to look at it objectively.
While he likes many initiatives in the state of the state, Central Adirondack Partnership for the 21st Century Executive Director Nick Rose has concerns about the idea of the rooftop highway.
What does it mean to all the small communities? That really has to be part of that analysis, part of that study. You may have seen some of that when the Northway was built. For some communities, it definitely meant a downturn in their economic status.
State Senator Betty Little, who represents the North Country, released a statement noting that property taxes will be her focus this year, and she will push for a circuit breaker provision to limit increases.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
With the focus on addressing income inequality for 2014, a coalition of political action groups gathered at the Capitol this week for the 24th annual People's State of the State rally. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas was there and filed this report.
Biden is here today. Obama will talk about income inequality. De Blasio will talk about income inequality. But where is our governor in the most unequal state in the country on income inequality?
That's Sarah Nicoli with the New York State Labor Religion Coalition leading the call at the People's State of the State rally. The 2014 event compared national, state, and city agendas on income equality. Mark Dunlay with the Hunger Action Network urges Governor Cuomo to acknowledge that New York has the worst problem of income inequality in the entire United States.
And that is an issue we should learn something from President Obama and Vice President Biden and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. The minimum wage we did last year is still a sub-poverty wage. It needs to be higher. He needs more money for emergency food programs. It's good to see him putting some money on the table for affordable housing. We need more. We especially need Section 8 rent subsidy vouchers so that people are not paying 50, 60, 70% of their income for housing.
The groups want a state minimum wage of at least $10 an hour. The Coalition for a Real Minimum Wage Increase noted that food tip workers were left out of the recent minimum wage deal. Executive Director of New Yorkers for Fiscal Fairness, Ron Deutsch, says the groups released an interim report card for the governor, evaluating his progress on key issues during his first 3 years and making recommendations for improvement for the final year of his first term, including tax fairness, hunger, child poverty, education, job creation, living wages, immigrant rights, and homelessness.
These are issues we need the governor to address in his State of the State address, but these are issues that year after year he continues to ignore. And in fact, the policies that he's put in place over the last 3 years that he's been governor have made the problem worse, not better. So we really need the governor to focus like a laser beam on some of these critical social issues before it's too late.
The activists claim the richest 1% of the state's residents now receive 35% of the income, a disparity not seen since right before the Great Depression. Mark Dunlay says his group has high hopes for Mayor de Blasio, hoping to convince him to initiate both universal school lunch programs and breakfast in the classroom. Dunlay notes they're watching to see who he appoints to head the city's welfare department.
Because they have been very opposed to transitional jobs programs, education and job training for low-income New Yorkers. We're hoping that Mr. de Blasio will change that position as he did when he was on the city council and was quite good on these issues.
The SOS is traditionally held the day before the governor's official address to provide what advocates describe as a realistic picture of how the state is faring on hunger, homelessness, income equality, and employment. The Cuomo administration did not return a call for comment. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
Listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. President Joe Biden made a trip to New York and joined Governor Cuomo in Albany this week to discuss rebuilding the state and strengthening infrastructure affected by extreme weather. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard explains.
Vice President Biden and Governor Cuomo held the press conference in the Red Room at the Capitol building to discuss the work planned to make New York's infrastructure systems more storm resilient, reflecting on the devastation brought on by Superstorm Sandy in 2012 and Tropical Storms Irene and Lee in 2011. The governor said the rebuilding plan required government to reimagine the infrastructures of New York.
This was a special challenge for us because it called for us to literally reimagine the state in light of what we went through with Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy, Storms Irene and Lee. And taking those lessons and taking really that trauma and reshaping our vision of New York through that experience.
Governor Cuomo outlined New York's recovery plan in areas of improving weather detection, rebuilding and redesigning transportation systems, including bridges and airports, and improving the state's energy systems. The governor also outlined the need for improvements in wastewater systems, increased coastal protection, reevaluation of home construction, rebuilding communities, and emergency preparedness. Cuomo said the work would not be possible without partnership with the federal government.
This wouldn't happen without the federal government and without their support for the supplemental appropriation, without the federal government cutting the bureaucracy the way they did, and doing the coordination that made today possible.
In January 2013, Congress approved $60 billion for the Superstorm Sandy recovery effort. Vice President Biden said the Empire State's mission to rebuild better should be reflected across the country.
The governor knows that we not only have to reimagine New York for a New York reality, we have to reimagine America for an American reality. And the reality is we've got to get back on our game.
Biden used an example of expansion of the Panama Canal to allow larger ships to pass through, only to be unable to make stops at most of America's ports and harbors as one way the country is lagging behind.
We're going to be left behind. The competition in the 21st century is different. But you got a governor who understands why the Empire State became known as the Empire State and apparently is determined to keep it the Empire State.
Right.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I wish everybody could see this presentation.
In his closing remarks, Governor Cuomo nodded towards the state legislative leaders also at the conference, and said the rebuilding effort will be a unified partnership.
We know how to work. We're from hard work. And we have the plan, and we're going to go. And we're going to do it together as a unified government. Speaker Silver is a good assemblyman. He's not bad with a hammer and nails. You have to see Dean Skelos is a pretty good electrician. We're going to rebuild this state. You come here 12 months from now, and you're going to be impressed with everything we did. Thanks to you and the partnership.
Thank you. I'm Lucas Willard.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies are available. Call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1402. Or just listen or podcast on the web, wamc.org. And join us again next week at the same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.